You care about helping others learn and grow, and now you can make an even greater difference. The Ohio State University's fully online master's in applied behavior analysis prepares you to help learners with disabilities thrive. You'll develop the skills to use evidence-based interventions that enhance learning outcomes and foster independence, all in a flexible format designed for working professionals. With growing demand for board-certified behavior analysts, this online program helps you prepare for what's next without pausing your life. If you're ready to expand your impact, Ohio State is ready to support your next step. Visit go.osu.edu/behavioranalysis.
I absolutely love that first firing up of the grill on a warm summer evening. Do you or someone else in your home take grilling as seriously as I do? The Burger Perfection Pack is an incredible deal for just $99.99. This exclusive package includes 20 of Omaha Steaks' mouthwatering steak burgers. That's four of each of their finest burgers. Pure ground filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. Only available at omahasteaks.com. Impress your next dinner party or family cookout with exclusive products not available at grocery stores. All backed by Omaha Steaks' 100% money-back guarantee. Get ready for grilling season with the mouth-watering Omaha Steaks Burger Perfection Pack, plus 8 free Wagyu Smash Burgers for just $99.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and as a bonus, use promo code YUM to get $35 off your order. That's $35 off with promo code YUM. Terms apply. See site for details.
Summer adventures are better with Minky Couture. From road trips to ball games, beach nights to backyard movies, Minky has you covered. Don't miss the Everywhere blanket. Water-resistant, ultra-soft, and made for life on the go. Wherever summer takes you, bring comfort along. MinkyCouture.com, the original best blanket ever.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Saturday morning, which means the Chapman 49ers Rush meets the Larry Kruger Show. Larry, how are we doing this fine Saturday, man?
Doing fantastic. Absolutely thrilled to be here. Draft is approaching. Lots of juicy rumors. And we're going to have fun today. We're going to do something that we haven't done yet this year. And we're going to put the mocks aside, everything aside, and we're just going to go with 10 players each that we think the 49ers are most likely to draft. It's almost like a wager. It's almost like we're betting on who are the Niners most likely to draft. Last year, I'll just say this. I did, you know, probably whatever number of mock drafts there were, a lot, right? 100 maybe over the course of I'm just talking about to myself, not on the radio or not on YouTube or, but just, you know, fooling around. And of all the mock drafts that I did, I only really had three names that the Niners drafted that ever appeared in my mock drafts.
Ooh, what's three? What, I'm curious.
Yeah. Do you want to guess?
It had to be CJ West.
CJ West, for sure. Love CJ West.
Jordan Watkins.
Love Jordan Watkins.
I'm struggling with the third one.
Nick Martin.
Ah, there you go.
So I had Nick Martin, Jordan Watkins, CJ West. The rest of the guys I did not mock to the Niners. So I thought, you know what? We have a bunch of intel. We've got a bunch of thoughts. We've got a bunch of, you know, thoughts on prospects. I've been watching what you've been doing this week with some of the videos and different prospects that you're analyzing. And I thought, you know what? This would be perfect. We'll go back and forth. We'll go 10 guys that we think the 49ers will draft. We're not talking about who we would draft. We're not talking about, you know, anything other than us trying to get inside the brain of Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, and their cast of thousands process, you know, and figure out exactly what they would do. So we're today, more than anything, we're going to give you 20 names, hopefully. Maybe not, because there may be some duplicates here. But 20 names of who you think, or should we not have duplicates? Maybe we should have no duplicates. But 20 names of who we think they are likely to pick. Not who we would pick.
Right.
Who we think they would pick.
And I think, you know, whenever I'm setting my big board, Larry, one of the hardest things is, like, I'll fall in love with a guy and I'll be like, the Niners have never drafted this body type, this type of player, this whatever. Like, the Niners have, and I say this a lot, the most unique big board of all 32 teams in the NFL. Like, they have their style player, and if you don't fit that, they don't even care about you. Like, they know what they want, for better or worse, and a lot of times it is for worse. They're not going after all these players like when we do, you know, like we don't really throw a lot of players off of our boards, or at least I don't. Like, I grade them and, like, I'll flag them for medical or off field or character or poor athleticism. Like, I wonder how many names the Niners actually have on their board this year. Probably like 110. That's about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say, and every team does it a little differently. I will say this. You know, you could say, well, is there an advantage to know who they met with? Well, if you want to go to 49er Web Zone, you can take a look at the players that they have met with, and they've met with about 40 prospects so far. The interesting problem, and you know, the interesting part of it is that their top 30 visits, they have four of them so far. Three of them are first round wide receivers: Omar Cooper, KC Concepcion, Denzel Boston, and Romello Height, the edge rusher from Texas Tech. Those are the four guys that it's at least been reported so far are coming to Santa Clara for a 30 visit, which I think is really interesting in and of itself, because I think it's going to be a surprise to me if the 49ers draft a wide receiver in the first round.
Yeah, I'm leaning edge. Like, that's kind of the primary focus that I think the 49ers will go, that speed edge guy, especially with the Bryce Huff retirement, which I think they were going to cut him anyway. But that is the one glaring weakness on this roster. You can talk about safety, but they have three rookie contract safeties. You can talk about left guard, but they've already signed two guys to compete for that spot, plus Connor Colby last year. That speed edge spot, Larry, that, like, is that the glaring hole on this 49ers roster as we sit here, or is there another spot that stands out to you as, like, they got to fix this ASAP?
You know, the what complicates this is that, you know, we're talking about speed edge, but in reality, I mean, it's a new defensive coordinator with a new set of eyes on it, and John Lynch already kind of referenced that defensive front is the priority. But does that mean defensive tackle? Does that mean edge? And then what about body type wise? You know, I mean, are the Niners interested in R. Mason Thomas, who's kind of short arms and 6'2",
he's on my list,
240 pounds? You know, are they interested in Cassius Howell, who was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year, but he's got, you know, whatever, 31-inch arms or whatever it is? You know, do they like Keldrick Falk, who looks like a ton but really didn't produce much at Auburn? You know, so it's going to be interesting. And then, you know, before we get into our exercise, we probably should talk a little bit about how there's these Myles Garrett rumors. And what do you make of the Garrett rumors? Do you think there's nothing to them? Do you think there's something to them? You know, the more I think about the Garrett rumors, the more I think, you know what? It makes perfect sense for the Niners and the Browns. I'm not one of these people that I'm rooting for Myles Garrett to the Niners. But John, I gotta be honest. I really think that there's a viable chance that the Niners wind up going down this road. I just really think that where they're at as far as Lynch's drafting, where they're at with the roster, where they're at with some of their other veteran players they could throw into this deal. Where they're at with how they view their own roster. Do they need to get better, but do they need to get younger? I don't know. I mean, they're already the third youngest defense in the NFL. Do they need to make it a younger defense? So, I mean, I think if you said to me, what do you think the Niners are doing? I think what they're doing is trying to compete with Seattle and the Rams in 2026 for a Super Bowl. And still, obviously they've got to fill their needs, but I don't think they're thinking like, you know, let's scrap our group and restart. Like, I don't think they're going to trade Bosa. I don't think they're going to trade any of these veterans away for the most part. Maybe Trent, but I get the sense that they're like, let's go for it. They're like in a go for it mode. And I don't know if that's the right mode, to be completely honest. I mean, what do you think? I mean, should they be, they got their doors blown off by both of their division opponents late in the year, including the playoffs. Those opponents seem to be younger, even though Stafford is older. What do you do? Do you tear it down to the studs and rebuild and start new? It doesn't seem like they want to do that. But then, you know, do you trade away your draft choices for veterans? I don't know that that's the smart plan either. I don't know that that's a sustainable thing or thing that you can, I don't know if they can build a championship caliber team doing that. So where are you on the, you know, the last 48 hours of Myles Garrett could be moved and the Niners are involved in that rumor mill?
Anytime you can add the best defensive player in the NFL, like, and he's got a lot of time left. Like, he's incredible. He's one of one. There is Myles Garrett, then a large gap to the next player. And so you have to engage in that conversation. Now, the flip side of that is the 49ers did not participate in the trade for Max Crosby. The 49ers did not participate in trying to sign Trey Hendricks. So, like, they didn't even try. They have not negotiated with any edge players whatsoever throughout this entire free agency process. And you look at their roster, and it's like, okay, you've got, you know, Nick Bosa's locked up for many years. He'll be renegotiated next year. You've got your first-round pick, Mikael Williams, who, you know, wasn't great, but did what you wanted him to do, and you were able to stop the run efficiently, one of the best teams stopping the run while he was out there. He gets injured, gets terrible. You've got Keon White for one more year, who played great last year, and you got Sam Moe, who's a rotational depth piece at worst. So you got your four defensive ends. None of those are Myles Garrett. Now, is this roster and the financial makeup, are you ready to trade away multiple first-round picks for a player that you're going to pay top-of-the-market premium money to? I'm not sure that's in the cards for the 49ers. I think the discussion needs to be had. I'm not going to say I wouldn't pursue Myles Garrett, but I'm not trading multiple first and a starter for it. I just don't see that as the best use of this roster. You've got to have some young influx talent into this. You're so stinking old already. So now you're giving away two first round picks and a starter to get them. I'm not sure it'd be fun to have Myles Garrett and Nick Bosa out there. Don't get me wrong. That sounds awesome. That would be one of the best pass rushing duos ever. You could put that, you know, up there, the competition's there. I don't know. You have the conversation.
Yeah, it's about the price tag, right? I mean, it's about what is the price tag exactly. Now, here would be my thing, John. I think the price tag might be lower than we think. And people say, well, Krug, come on, what are you thinking? This is the best defensive player in football. I get it. But Schwartz bailed and they passed him over for the head coach and coaching job, and then he resigned. So, and Myles Garrett is a very wanted out last year. They appeased him with the 4-year, you know, $40 million a year deal. So now he's signed up and he, you know, he's somewhat appeased, but now they passed over Schwartz for Monken, and then Schwartz resigned. So I think there's at least a chance that Myles Garrett has told the Browns, get me the flip out of here. And I think the Browns are pivoting from great defensive line to great offensive line. And I, you know, if I'm the 49ers, the only way I would even consider making the Myles Garrett deal is if I could move Trent Williams in the deal and then keep some of those picks.
So why would the Browns want Trent though? Like, they're not competing. Like, Trent would retire, right? Like,
I can't imagine he would go there. But
he'd be like, no, man.
They would probably flip him to Kansas City for a draft choice. That would be my guess. But I just think that the Browns also are, you know, they may have a distressed asset on their, you know what I mean? They may have a situation where Myles Garrett, you know, has told them, hey, look, I'm not going to say it publicly until training camp, but I want the hell out of here. And if that's the case, my guess is they would pivot to their next priority. What's the Browns' next priority? I think it's getting 2027 draft capital so that you can get one of those eight quarterbacks that's headed towards the first round next year if Shadur's not the guy. So I think, you know, how about Trent Williams and a 27 first and third? And then you get that third back when Mac Jones walks and it winds up being Trent Williams and next year's first for Myles Garrett. If I were the Niners, I would do that.
I do that.
And then, keep this year's number one and take Ian Acher or Blake Miller or maybe.
Dude, I love those two, man.
You know, and those guys are right tackles, but Ian Acher maybe could be coached into being a left tackle eventually. I don't know. But I get the sense that the Trent Williams thing, I mean, it's they know him. He knows them. Everybody knew this was coming. The fact that it's not done now makes me think that the Niners don't want to do it.
I don't think they do. I think the Trent Williams, every time he's done a renegotiation, waits till the last day. Every single time. This is not the first or second time. Like, when Trent Williams does a renegotiation, he holds out to the longest time possible. How much more can he get? This is the highest non-paid quarterback in NFL history already. Like, and I'm not saying he should take a discount or whatever else, but, like, let's just be very honest. Trent Williams' goal is not to get signed and into camp and cohesive. That's not his goal. His goal is money, 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 money. Like, that, and that's not a negative. But for a 49ers roster construction, whatever, like, I don't think this Trent deal gets done anytime soon. And after the draft, it's almost impossible for him to be traded. So, like, it's play for the Niners or don't play. That just seems to be. And whenever they did not pick up his option, that was, like, the exclusive, look, man, you're playing for us or nowhere else. We have you under contract. We don't have to let you go. We're not releasing you for free. The Trent deal will get done, but I don't think it's going to get done anytime soon because he's all about the money, and that's why he's got a private jet, and I don't.
It's interesting, too, because, you know, Grant Cohn has suggested that the Niners are going to do to Trent what they did to Ayuk, and that basically means, you know, try to undercut his leverage by drafting the way they drafted Ricky Pearsall. Maybe draft a tackle, but I don't even see that. And in fact,
that's not even the same position. That's why that, like, sorry, Brandon Ayuk plays X. Like, no, they undercut Debo by drafting Pearsall. Like, you don't even like, that's not even a football related. Like, no, they're different positions. X and Z are not the same. Like, I don't know.
But I mean, even indirectly saying, hey, add another receiver to the room and that allowed you to trade Ayuk or not pay Ayuk. I just don't think they would handle Trent that way. I don't, and it's funny because Mayoko is on record in the last 24 hours of saying that he doesn't believe the 49ers are going to go offensive line before the fourth round. And I agree.
I think they're going to draft one.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Draft a lineman, offensive lineman.
Yes. I mean, I think they will take one in the fourth round, but I don't think they're going to take one in round one, and I don't think they're going to take one in round two. And yet many of the mock drafts have the 49ers taking a tackle in round one. So, all right, let's get into our exercise, and we'll talk it through. You can go first, and I'll go second, and we'll go right down the line. But why don't we first get into the conversation of 27? All right, they pick 27, and I think it's safe to say that John Lynch has already kind of told us that his priority is the defensive front. And this is where I think things start to get a little bit kind of complicated for the 49ers. Because if I'm just looking, I just want to take a look at any mock draft so I can take a look at the names. So I'm looking at Tankathon right now. So the Niners pick 27th, and this thing has them taking Blake Miller. But the other defensive players on the board at this point are Caden McDonald, who's just an awesome run defender, but you could kind of argue might be redundant with C.J. West and Alfred Collins. There's Colton Hood, the corner from Tennessee, but John was saying defensive front, so we'll just take him and move him aside. Cassius Howell, who is the SEC Defensive Player of the Year, 11.5 sacks, but he definitely has short arms, and you know you kind of wonder about you know I've. I, there's some Von Miller in him for sure. And I love his pass rush. I really like him as a player, but he's not without flaws. Zion Young from Missouri is there, but there's multiple character flags on Zion Young. I probably would look away from those and draft him. There's CJ Allen from Georgia, and that's an interesting name. I don't know if he would be on their board. There's Caleb Banks from Florida, but he's got a foot problem, you know? So, I mean, of the defensive front guys, I just read you the options and they all have some glitch. If you go further down the list, you know, there's Keontae Scott from Miami. There's D'Angelo Pons. You got some good corners there. There's Kristen Miller from Georgia. There's Jacob Rodriguez. There's Gabe Yakis. There's some good corners. So it's, you know, coming up on 27, I guess, who are you looking to see on the board there at 27. I'll just give you 20 through 27 in front of the Niners for Tankathon. They go Keldrick Falk, Caden Proctor, Akeem Mesidor, Caleb Lomu, Jordan Tyson falling all the way to the Browns at 24, Emmanuel McNeil Warren, TJ Parker to Buffalo, and then the Niners taking Blake Miller. So I think that the first round should be a great defensive player. And if we're trying to guess along with the Niners there, it's really difficult, but my guess, since I'm guessing along with the Niners, is Kristen Miller.
Oh, the regular season is wrapped and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers. To get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA.
Summer adventures are better with Minky Couture. From road trips to ball games, beach nights to backyard movies, Minky has you covered. Don't miss the everywhere blanket. Water-resistant, ultra-soft, and made for life on the go. Wherever summer takes you, bring comfort along. MinkyCouture.com, the original best blanket ever. Summer adventures are better with Minky Couture. From road trips to ball games, beach nights to backyard movies, Minky has you covered. Don't miss the everywhere blanket. Water-resistant, ultra-soft, and made for life on the go. Wherever summer takes you, bring comfort along. MinkyCouture.com, the original best blanket ever.
All I'll go first. I'll go Kristen Miller. I think Kristen Miller is so John Lynch and the Niners. He doesn't have a lot of sack production, but he is 6'4", you know, 320, got a great body for the game. He's healthy. He's great against the run. He plays every down. He's really tight with Mikael Williams. They're buddies. The Niners go defensive tackle a lot more than people think. And I don't know. I think I think the big bodies are, you know, they think they're rare. So I'm going to say Kristen Miller, defensive tackle, Georgia. And that would be my first guess of who they will wind up with. He just seems like a Niner. He's clean as far as rap sheet, but he's athletic. John went to Athens for the local pro day. That was either for Kristen Miller or CJ Allen. And it may be CJ Allen. He might be on my list too at some point. But I'll start with Kristen Miller. I just think that he could be the piece that they start with on defense.
You know, it's funny. My Kristen Miller comp is Kenny Clark, who was Osa's teammate in Dallas. And so, like, if you're trying to replicate that defensive tackle front, like that's kind of the thing there. Now, Kristen Miller's a stud. Like, let me just say that. I do not like this defensive tackle class whatsoever. I think it's a poor defensive tackle class, and I don't think any of them are going in the top 25. It's very likely the 49ers sitting at pick 27 and every single defensive tackle is still there. You talked about, you know, the foot issues, Caleb Banks, and kind of all the stuff that's there. Kristen Miller is kind of more of the same, where this elite A-plus run defender, can he bring pass rush upside? That seems to be the question. But whenever you start looking at his stats, and it's just like 1.5 sacks last year, like, that's kind of the thing. If you're going to make pass rush your priority, did Osa already fix that? Does Bosa coming back from injury already fix that? If that's the case, you can't have enough of these run stuffers in the middle. You would have four elite young defensive tackles that you could rotate, and just nobody's going to run the ball on us with, you know, Alfred Collins, CJ West, Osa, and now you're adding Kristen Miller. So I like that aspect of it. I do wish he had more pass rush upside. And whenever it's all said and done for me, Kristen Miller might be my number one defensive tackle of this class, because he doesn't have those red flags that a lot of defensive tackles in this class do. I think he is worthy of the number 27 overall pick. But my biggest question is just, is it a little redundant? The 49ers don't seem to mind redundancy, though. Look, every safety has the same athletic profile. Every corner, same athletic pro. Like, when the 49ers like something, they copy and paste it. And Kristen Miller fits that.
I'm just looking at the group, and I'm thinking, Banks makes sense, but he's got the foot problem. McDonald is really a run defender. I mean, he's 6'1" and change. He's 325. He's a real run defender. He's a great run defender, but he's a real run defender. Lee Hunter, I like Lee Hunter a lot, and I could see him on their list. But something about Kristen Miller just says Niners to me. The motor, the body, the athleticism. You know, they try to get everybody on board, right? They try to get the coaches and the scouts and the analytics department. And I think when you're dealing with all these different groups, they don't want bad guys. You know, they don't want short arm guys. They don't want, you know, they have, and I just think a guy like Miller's going to check a lot of boxes. I really do. I think they're going to talk themselves into Kristen Miller. So that would be my, if I had to go with number one on my list of the top 10, guess who's the Niners picks are, you know, and then we're not just guessing in round one. It could be in any round, but I'll go with Kristen Miller. And I would say he would definitely be their choice after round one, but I think there's a very good chance he might be their choice in round one. If he's there at 58, I absolutely guarantee you he's going to be a 49er. But if he's even at 27, I still think, Draft Tech has him as the second best one technique behind Lee Hunter, and they have him going 40th overall. So that's about right. I think that's probably where he probably should go, around 40. And I think the Niners might take him at 27. A little bit of a reach on the combination of traits and character. I think they like that.
Clean injury history, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. You know, you got a bunch of people sitting there going, you got doctors checking off, and you got coaches, and then, you know, Lynch really loves Kirby. And I just, you know, I could see the Niners going Georgia a couple times in this draft. So, Kristen Miller is my number one guess. Who is yours?
I'm staying defensive line, but kicking it outside. And you mentioned his name earlier, but I just think there is just too much overlap in need versus talent and placement in this draft. Cassius Howell, edge rusher, speed guy. I never thought that this was a player that would be available at pick 27. Then the combine happens. It has some of the shortest arms. You know, you've got to talk about that. And just, it's weird. Tiny arms, T-Rex arms, even shorter than David Bailey's, which that's pretty impressive. But the fact that he could be there around 26, he's my number 21 player on my big board. And so from OU, I hate that damn school, but he just plays with so much energy, so much excitement. Sorry, he's from A&M, even worse than OU. Sorry about that. but I just love this dude, the twitch, the versatility, how much he loves football. He plays with so much passion. Like, you're watching the silent scout tape, and you see a cornerback make a play on the other side of the field. His play's over. He'll be so animated. He gets a sack. He gets up and he goes over and shakes the defensive tackle's hand that set the stunt for him. Like, the way he just seems to be all about football, all about team, the excitement. The 49ers roster is a slow roster. There's not a lot of speed. There's not a lot of explosion on the team any longer. This guy brings that in spades. And yeah, is he going to be an every down run defending defensive end? No, he's not. But you look at what Raheem Morris, the new defensive coordinator, what did he do with his first two picks last year? He went and got James Pierce, which is much bigger, a lot more link, but still undersized. And then he went and got Jalen Walker, who was a hybrid edge rusher, off-ball linebacker type. I just feel like this just makes too much sense. If I had to put my stake on one player being the number 27 overall pick, premium position, one of the only major needs left on the roster that is a glaring weakness, matches the draft value, it just makes too much sense. So Cassius Howell, for me, I think he's got to be on that list. He's my number one player most likely to be drafted for the 49ers.
It's a good one. That's a good one. And he's been mocked a lot to the Niners. You know, we saw Matt Barrows and Vic Tafer in The Athletic had a dueling mocks a few weeks ago, and they both took Cassius Howell. So that's a good one. That is a good one. Okay, I'm going to go with my second pick, and I'm going to cheat a little bit. It's a little bit of a cheat. It's a little bit of a cheat. Tony Pauline reported a few weeks ago that the Niners like Chris Bell. I really believe Tony is actually kind of in the know on this more than almost all of the other insiders. I think he actually has real intel, like real in, you know, behind the 49er actual personnel walls intel, as opposed to just media intel. And I think Chris Bell, wide receiver, Louisville, I think that there's a lot of reasons that Chris Bell could be the offensive rookie of the year in the NFL this year. I really like this player. He tore his ACL, but they say he's going to be ready to roll, and this guy really is aggressive at the catch point. But what I love the most about him is he is a big kid that gets north-south, and once he gets like three steps going, I don't see anybody ever tackle him. He's always running away. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Terrell Owens in that he's got such that speed to power mix that once it's like you can tackle him if you get him in the first two or three yards after he catches the ball before he really takes off upfield. When he starts cooking upfield with all that weight and power and strength and muscle, it's like good luck. And that's where this guy is. This guy's like, he's like an AJ Brown body type. This guy's 6'2", 2 1/4. And if you watch his film, at least pre-ACL, he was running away from everybody. I mean, you're seeing this guy run away pretty consistently. So I'm going to go Chris Bell, wide receiver. I think that Chris Bell, the 49ers see that in one draft choice, they can replace Ayuk, Debo, and JJ. In a lot of ways, this guy gives you, he's like, if you said, what is he? He's a combo of those three guys. He's got the big catch radius and the courageousness to run across the middle like Ayuk in his prime. He's got that unbelievable drag defenders kind of will that JJ has. And then he's got the run after the catch gadget ability, do stuff within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage that Debo had. I don't know if he'll be there at 58, but if he's there at 58, I think the Niners will take him at 58. They may even trade back from the first round and take him earlier, or they could trade up in the second round and take him earlier, or they could move somebody and get another pick and wind up with him. But I think he goes between 35 and 65 in that range. And I think the Niners will be all over him in the second round. Chris Bell, wide receiver, Louisville.
His tape is awesome. My favorite thing is when corners try to press him and he just bench presses them. Like, he's so physical. It reminds you a lot of that kind of AJ Brown physicality with what Chris Bell does. Now, the flip side, how are Niner fans going to react to drafting a player off of an ACL tear? That's going to be...
There'll be Trent Baalke references.
Oh, man. It's going to be rough. It's going to be... But I love Chris Bell. I would be willing to go as far as to say this. If the Niners took him at 27, it would not be a reach. I know you gave the range, but if you believe Chris Bell can become the height of what his film and athletic profile says that he is, that's definition first-round pick. And so, like, are ACLs what they used to be? Are they what they used to be? And I don't know how to measure a player like this, because he is coming off an ACL. But is that what it used to be? Is that the death penalty to this point now? That trade back from the first and you got Chris Bell, I'd say that'd be an A-plus draft if you traded back. If you took him, I think it's a little too early. If you get him in the second, oh, my gosh, freaking home run. Chris Bell's a stud. The tape, like, he would be in the conversation if he was healthy of the top of this class. There's no doubt in my mind. He's just that strong and that tough. I like Chris Bell.
I mean, he ran a limited route tree at Louisville. So there's that, you know, so there's going to be some transition there. But the straight line speed is really good. He had a 5.3% drop rate in 2025, 56.1% contested catch rate. Really good on the back shoulder throw, runs through arm tackles, career 67.7% completion rate when targeted. What I love is for a big man, he's got instant acceleration and he really is. He doesn't, you know, he's a rack monster. And then the 49ers, this guy had 440 rack yards last year. The 49ers used to be this run after the catch monster. They're not anymore. So I like Chris Bell. All right. Who's your number two guy on our 10 guy list each of,
ooh,
the guys the 49ers are most likely to take?
Look at this. ResThug707, thanks for the super chat. We'll be getting to the super chats later, but this one was where I was going. He says they are looking at Romello Height. What round do you think that they would take him at number 58? Yeah, he's a second round edge guy. And so the 49ers are like, they've already met. One of their official top 30 visits was used on edge rusher Romello Height. Out of Texas Tech. And I just think that is kind of a perfect pairing. I think that's about where he'll go. Again, another undersized speed edge rusher. Like, if you haven't picked up on the theme of what I see here, they're adding a speed edge rusher at some point. And this is where the second round, now where in the second round, you get guys like, you know, Derek Hall. You get guys like Boye Mafe, these athletic undersized speed burst players. And that's what Romello Height brings out of Texas Tech. You know, everybody talks about David Bailey, and rightfully so. He's my number two player overall in this class. He's awesome. He's a blue chipper. But look at the opposite side. Romello Height is a fun kind of Energizer Bunny, speed, undersized edge rusher. Now 32 1/4 inch arms, so a little bit longer arms, but small. 9 sacks. He's all over the place. Undersized, but just plays lightning quick. I don't think that he has the juice to bump him up to that first round or top 40 picks, but I think pick 58 overall, I think Romello Height, who the 49ers are doing their work with, would absolutely love to get this dude in the building. And so if you don't go edge rusher in the first round, it's happening in the second round. Like, I would be willing, I'm betting the farm on this one, Larry, that one of the first two picks for the 49ers will be an edge rusher.
That's good. That's a good one. And that makes sense. Now, this also goes right along with the talk coming out of the combine that they're going to look for some different body types, right? This guy's got more of a Leonard Floyd body. You know, he's really lean and long and light. He's not your first and second down edge setter. What he is, though, is in a five-man front, he could be a devastating rusher. So, yeah, that's a good one. That is a really good one. I'm going to go with my third guy. I'm going to go with C.J. Allen, the linebacker from Georgia. And I'm very convicted that John Lynch really, really, really likes Kristen Miller. And I think he really likes Georgia players. I think he's tight with Kirby. I think he likes Georgia players. And, you know, the one thing about this, let me see there's one cut that I want to play if I can find it here. There is a great, I can't play it because it's on your side. But Kirby Smart did an interview, and he was talking about how his son had some kind of injury and he was rehabbing with the Georgia doctors, and that he was bringing his son to the facility at like 6:45 for like a month or something like that. He said every single time they showed up at 6:45, C.J. Allen was already in the training room getting treatment, doing work, you know, and he described him as a relentless worker. And when I watch C.J. Allen's workouts and I think about what he is as a player, he's a 3-year starter on a really good Georgia team. If he is this tone setting guy, relentless 3-time captain, if he is this relentless worker guy, there's a lot of Patrick Willis traits to C.J. Allen. Now, I know Patrick Willis was better. Patrick Willis, a Hall of Famer. Patrick Willis went in the top 10. Patrick Willis didn't have quite the stiffness that Allen seems to have in some of the field work. But Allen's a great athlete, too, and very productive player. And I just think he's going to be a very, very good pro. So I'll say C.J. Allen. I also think that there's something to be said for drafting a great player and putting him in a room with guys that are also great players. And the Niners don't have their next great young linebacker unless Nick Martin is it. And he may be. But you have Bowman, or you have Willis, and or you have Will. You don't have either. You have Warner, and you have Greenlaw, and you know, you don't have a great young linebacker. And to me, if you could get C.J. Allen and put him in that same room with Greenlaw and Warner, I think that would probably be really, really smart. So I'm going to say C.J. Allen, Georgia linebacker.
Yeah, I have on my draft notes, safest linebacker in this draft by a lot. And that's including, you know, if you want to put Sonny Styles or what, like, this guy is a pro. And he is that undersized kind of, you know, perfect will linebacker. I like C.J. Allen a lot. I really, really do. And so I think that would just be an absolutely incredible pick. Second round, is that like, would you take him? Is he going to be like first round? Are you okay taking him? You take him 27 overall?
No, I wouldn't take him 27 overall. I think what I would do is I would trade back. If I could, you know, if Ty Simpson, you know, is still on the board, maybe they could trade back into the top of the second, and I'd take him there. But I definitely love him.
I like it. All right, I'm gonna go offensive side of the ball. Okay. I'm going tight end. I think the 49ers should have drafted tight end last year. They didn't. They banked on Luke Farrell being what he wasn't. But now you still got him. And you know, George Kittle missing some time. I think it's important to go tight end. I don't think that they go tight end in the first round.
Who is the new? Do we know who the new tight end coach is?
Ooh, that is a good question. Yeah, let's see here. Let's do a quick
49er tight end coach.
49ers tight end. Cameron Clements. Yeah, so he was the run game coordinator. No, Brian Fleury was there, and the team promoted from within. So Cameron Clements was with him as an assistant offensive line coach since 2024. So he's been there for 2 years, and now Cameron Clements is the tight end coach. I need to do a deeper dive on that.
So let's see. He spent the previous 4 seasons with the Raiders.
Uh-oh, that's not good.
Where he was assistant offensive line coach.
Joking someone.
Yeah. So, you know, that kind of makes me think that maybe the Niners would go after Darren Waller.
Oh, go get you a receiving guy if he wants to come. He was there, and that's whenever he had, you know, his best season. So that makes sense.
So who do you like tight end wise? Who do you think's the fit?
Dude, I hate that we're going back to these same damn schools, but it's what Shanahan and Lynch do. I'm going back to Georgia. Tight end Oscar Delp, probably one of my favorite. He's not my highest ranked tight end in this class, but like this tight end class is designed. There's two types of tight ends. There's your do-it-all, big-bodied, whatever, and then there's your small slot receiver, Brock Bauer guys. Oscar Delp does everything. He has the elite athleticism. He's 6'5". You know, he blocks like a beast. And he's not George Kittle. Nobody is George Kittle. He has the most Kittle-like tape. And he was asked to do the Darnell Washington role in the Georgia offense, the Charlie Warner role in that offense, same offense, where he is basically used as an extra offensive tackle, you know, blocking off the line as a move fullback type option. And the athleticism and the catching is there. He just wasn't asked to do it too much. He was used as that blocker. So Oscar Delp, he played all year on a hairline fracture in his foot that he didn't even know about, goes to the combine, gets flagged in the medical checks, and he's like, wait, what? He's like, well, I'm still working out. They wouldn't let him work out. He tried to work out at the combine anyway. They went for legal reasons. But now that's been, you know, fixed. He played all year on it, didn't even know about it. This is somebody that I just think you could plug and play right away while Kittle's out. And then he could take over that Luke Farrell role because I'm still shocked he's on this roster, if I'm going to be very honest with you.
That's a good one. That is a good one. Oscar Delp, tight end, Georgia. And, you know, it's interesting. He's never had over 300 receiving yards in any season.
He wasn't used that way. His catching tape is good. He's got good hands. Drop rate's legit. Like, he can move. I mean, he ran a 4.4 at the pro day. Like, the dude could scoot, but he just wasn't asked to do it. Georgia doesn't do that. They use him as the blocker.
Yeah, I that's a good one. It's a really good one. I kind of see a little bit of A.J. Barner in him. I mean, he's got great speed. I mean, the guy ran 4.48.
Yeah,
At 250 some odd pounds. So I'll stay tight end. I'm going to go Stanford tight end, though, Sam Roush. And I do think, you know, we're talking about the fourth round. I think Sam Roush is, you know, Draft Tech has him as the fifth best tight end. They have him at 110. 110 would be I think, early fourth round. But I do think he's a fourth round guy. He's a day three guy. He's a big, strong blocker, and the Niners want a big, strong blocker. And yet, I think that Stanford, you know, did not unearth all of his receiving abilities. I think he's a much better receiver than he ever was at Stanford. And I think this is a very safe day three, fourth round pick. The Niners have four of them, one of them. My guess would be Sam Roush, tight end, Stanford.
Yeah, my favorite thing about Sam Roush, over 3,000 snaps played, which is the most of all the tight end eligible draft, whatever. No games missed, no injuries. So you're talking about somebody that's smart as hell, obviously, went to Stanford, played a ridiculous amount, and just doesn't get injured. He fits in. My favorite thing, Larry, I freaking applaud you always. I love that we're not going after these 6'3", 230-pound tight end guys. And maybe the 49ers will do that, but I think the two-year extension of Los Gatos, baby, I think he plays that small move receiver option until Kittle returns. But I don't know. Just focusing on the tight end spot alone, do you think that they've never drafted a 6'3 tight end. They've never drafted this small move guy. Do you think that the 49ers are going to start valuing that? Or are they going to stay, like, does Ton just fit that role? I think they want the bigger 6'5 blocker dude instead of the oversized slot tight end guy. I just don't think, I've never seen Shanahan go after that is all.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it. I mean, he never once, I mean, you had Kittle and Tonjes, and you never once put them out there together.
Ever.
How about that?
I mean, that's weird to me.
That's kind of odd. I would say that you're probably right. They probably, you know, like the big bodied tight end, especially because they have Tonjes. So you already have kind of the move tight end receiver, great hand, sticky finger guy. I think they're going to be looking for blockers in this edition. So Roush, the A&M kid, Nate Bokercher, he could be on their list. He's a very, very good blocker.
And a lot of these tight ends have major injury red flags. Like, I'm going through and I'm just like, ooh, I like this guy. I like this guy. I like this guy. And then you start digging into their games missed and it's like, ooh, like, dude, there's no way you could draft, you know, Max Clair getting a lot of, I mean, he's a damn good player, but I'm just like, all right, you got to be okay with that. Lake McCray, USC, Michael Trigg, Baylor, Eli Raridan, who I really like out of Notre Dame. That dude's got two ACLs on the same knee 2 months apart. So if you're having a hard time with one ACL, this dude has two ACL tears within the span of a season. Like Daylon Bentley, who I like from Utah, I think he fits perfectly in the fourth round too. He's missed time in four consecutive seasons in a row. So getting these clean players like Sam Roush, it's just like, man, those guys, I hope he's there in the fourth. He's just so clean. I'm just like, every single team's going to like Sam Roush. 32 out of 30. There's no way you could watch his tape, watch his interviews, see how much he's played and just be like, yeah, we don't like this guy. So, like, I hope he's there in the fourth. I hate that the 49ers don't have a third round. The Osa trade was awesome. But that is such a huge gap. A lot of players are going to be gone in that window.
Especially because there's the compensatory third round picks. So the third round goes on for another 10 picks or so. So, yeah, it's a long road between 58 and where they pick in the fourth round. That's why, you know, if there's trade back potential in round one or round two, even if it's just a few spots, I would do it. I would do it and see if I could get some more picks. I just would want a few more. So I've got Christian Miller, Chris Bell, CJ Allen, Sam Roush. You've got Cassius Howell, Romello Height, Oscar Delp, and did you just go with another one?
I got one right here. We ready? Let's go. Wide receiver, second round, Jeremy Bernard, Alabama. Like, again, whenever you get to the second round, and like my question to the people watching or listening to this, are you one of those people that's just like, man, why do the 49ers miss on so many picks? Sometimes you just got to hit singles and doubles. Tony Gwynn, man, he's in the Hall of Fame. Just don't strike out. Jeremy Bernard, wide receiver, Alabama, is exactly that. He's Omar Cooper light in the second round. Does everything. Can play X, you know, can play Z, can play the big slot. You want him to block, tough as hell. He's the versatility, like, he's not a blazer speed-wise, but the speed guy. But you look at his acceleration. This dude ran a 1.52 in the 10-yard. That's elite, elite, elite. So his top-end 40 speed is 4.48, but how quick he gets there, the burst, all those things. You want him over the middle. He just does everything. My favorite thing about watching Jeremy Bernard, they'll put him in the slot and motion like real tight splits off the tackle or tight end. He'll down block on a defensive end in the SEC every single game, and he'll smile. Like, he loves that dirty work. So you want to replace Juwan Jennings with a higher caliber athlete with a, you know, that offers a little bit more versatility. Jeremy Bernard in the second round. Again, another just very clean player. in a draft that lacks blue chip, elite, whatever. But to get somebody like this in the second round, he could play every single wide receiver spot you've got on your roster.
That's a good one. I really like him. And it's funny, Matt Miller, the ESPN draft guy, draft guru, says that he feels like Jeremy Bernard is a perfect fit for the Kyle Shanahan offense. I really like him. I mean, he's such a good player, and he can do it. He's got a strong body. He'll run that in cut route. He's got run after the catch ability. He's a producer. I mean, this guy, he plays big in big games. Yeah, I like Jeremy Bernard. I'm going to stay at Bama for my fifth guy, and I'm going to go with a guy that is either going to be a reach in the fourth round, or the Niners are going to trade for some extra picks deeper on day three, or they're going to love this guy as an undrafted free agent. But I do believe that the Niners are going to wind up with this guy because it just seems like this is what they care about. Jam Miller, running back, Alabama, 5'10", 200, and they list him here at 209. He's probably more like 220, but he's got good speed. And he is the best blocking running back in the draft. This guy will absolutely stonewall you. He's one of the best blockers. I think, you know, the only way you get on the field for Kyle Shanahan, especially on a team that has Christian McCaffrey, is if you're an exceptional blocker. And that's what Jam Miller is. He is a dominant stonewall, blow you out of the hole blocker. And he also has great speed. He's got powerful lower legs. He's got real explosion. Bama had a bad year running the ball this year, and I know this kid got blamed a lot, but, man, I really, really like him. He's from the same home of Earl Campbell, Tyler, Texas, the Rose capital.
The Texas Rose, baby.
There you go. The Tyler Rose. Tyler, Texas is the Rose capital of the world. He chose Bama over UT, which probably doesn't make John too happy. But this guy was a highly regarded running back recruit in a talent-rich state of Texas. He was a four-star prospect by all the major outlets. He was considered to be a big-time player, and he got kind of caught up in a numbers game at Bama. But he also owns the Texas high school record for career rushing yards with nearly 5,000 career rushing yards across four seasons. This is a great player whose greatness never really came to the surface at Bama, but his singular dominant trait of being just a stonewall blocker will be attractive to the Niners. And I think his upside potential as a receiver and as a big play back. And if you're going to have Brock Purdy, you got the Niners let Brock Purdy down and let Christian McCaffrey down this year in that their non-offensive line blockers all fell apart. Their receivers didn't block nearly as well as they had in the past. Their tight ends didn't block nearly as well. They didn't get nearly the blocking that they needed to get out of non-offensive linemen. And I just think there'll be a concerted effort to look for better ways to run the ball. And when you're on day three, I think Jam Miller is going to look really good. So I'm going to say Jam Miller, running back Bama, on the strength of his blocking.
It's funny, you know, we've been doing this for a little while, Larry, and I'm hearing you describe Jam Miller, and it reminds me of a guy you hyped up last year, nonstop, very similar profile, Kyle Monongai.
I loved my Monongai last year.
It's out the profile you were describing the whole time. I was like, dude, that's Kyle Monongai. This is what he was talking about last year. Yeah, Jam Miller. Let's go. Should have went to Texas, but that's okay. Respect you. Respect you. My last player.
We're going 10 each. We're going 10 each. So we're going to speed it up here.
Okay. Tre'Davious Stoops, cornerback out of Arizona. This is, you know, we do about 12 players a year, Larry, that we call Rush Crush. That's our little designation stamp. 49ers use the gold helmet term. That's this guy. 6-year player, loads of experience, 6'1", 190. He's got the length, 4.3 speed. You go through and you watch him, and it's just check mark, check mark, check mark, check mark, check mark. Fits everything that the 49ers like in their defensive cornerbacks: versatility, speed, tough, just does everything with ball skills. 49ers could get interceptions. It's allowed. You're allowed to draft guys that have ball skills. Tre'Davious Stoops, Arizona, 6'1", 190. I would absolutely love this kid, man.
It's a great one. Big corner, tons of talent, a lot of connections to the Niners there. That's a good one. I'm going to stay at corner. I'm going to go Keontae Scott from Miami. Now, I don't know. There's no indications at all that the 49ers like Keontae Scott. Okay, none. But to me, as we get closer to the draft, John, this guy reminds me of Brian Branch from Bama. This guy wears number zero for the Canes. He is a nickel corner. Right? He plays their nickel spot. But I think this guy, John, can make the Pro Bowl at free safety. I think he could make the Pro Bowl at nickel. I think he could make the Pro Bowl as an outside corner. He started at Auburn. He struggled a little bit on the outside. Then at Miami, he became this superstar player out of the slot. And he became just a nickel monster. And he had a pick six in the Natty, I believe. He was awesome in the college football playoffs. He then worked out last week and ran 4.25 at nearly 6 feet, 195 pounds. He's got a 43.5-inch vertical. John, when I see guys that have both the physical dominance and the production dominance, those guys go racing up the charts. And I think Keontae Scott right now is projected in the 50s and 60s. And I think he is his stock is skyrocketing. And I would not be surprised if the 49ers traded back from 27 to like 35 and took Keontae Scott. So I'm going to say Keontae Scott, just on the strength of his profile. And he looks like a shooting star in this draft. And I gotta think that their scouts are noticing.
I like it, man. It's speed. I want the Niners to get more speed. Like, they're a slow team. They're an aging team, right? So new youth, new speed. I just feel like that's huge. I'm going to stick with that theme. We know Kyle Shanahan's drafting running back. Like, everybody knows that. It's happening. He has to. He can't get out without drafting running back. So I'm going DeMond Claiborne out of Wake Forest, 5'9", 188. A little bit smaller than Shanahan typically likes. But speed, speed, speed. This is a 4.3 guy with elite top-end speed. It's just when he hits that gear, it's there. Now, he's got flags in his game. This is not a strong running back class. I wish he was better in the pass game. He runs good routes. Hands need a little bit of work. That's why he's a late fourth-round pick, and I think that's kind of where the Niners would grab him. But that elite home run ability, I want to see it. I don't think Isaac Grindo's long for the 49ers world, sadly. And so you're going to replace that kind of back-end role. Maybe he could, you know, be a returner and all those things. DeMond Claiborne, not a perfect prospect, but I want that speed. I want that speed. I want that speed.
That's a good one. That is a good one. And they love speed at running back. Okay, I'm going to go offensive line. I think the Niners do go offensive line in the fourth round. Now, I would go with an Oklahoma kid. I love Fabechi Wiwu, the guard from Oklahoma who won the Don Key Award, 6'4", 320, 34.5-inch arms. He's the number one pass-protecting guard in college football this year. He did not allow – I think he allowed zero sacks, two pressures, and two quarterback hits all year. He's a really good pass protector. So I love Fabechi Wiwu. It looks like Nwewu, but I think it's pronounced Wiwu. And I think he's awesome. I think that would be my guard. And I also love Micah Morris from Georgia and Jeremiah Wright from Auburn and the A&M guy, Armaj Reed Adams. I think they're all just road grading guards. But I got to go with what I think the Niners are going to do. The Niners love Iowa, because Iowa runs the same system they run, and Iowa's got a bunch of guys this year, and they got one guy named Bo Stevens who's projected at, you know, 237, so late on day three. He's 6'6", he's 315 pounds, he's a brawler, he's versatile, he's athletic. I think he could play guard, and he might be able to play center. I mean, he's a tall center, but Bo Stevens, I just think that he's versatile. They're going to need an offensive lineman. He's going to be staring them in the face late in the draft, and they're going to take him. Bo Stevens.
I want to ask you a question about Bo, because this is something I struggle with, because the Ferentz, you know, father-son duo, the outside zone, they do it better than anybody in college football. They have forever. I was shocked at Bo Stevens' testing and his 10-yard split. Had a 1.85, the worst for any interior offensive lineman. Does that push you off a player for the 49ers, or does that just push back a player? Because the tape says, dude, yeah, yes.
There may have been. I saw that too, and I thought maybe there's an injury there that we're not thinking
right?
of.
It's possible.
But I did a video on this the other day about the Niners value the 10-yard split. And if you value the 10-yard split, Parker Brailsford from Alabama had the 1.70 10-yard split. Monroe Freeling
is one
second
tenth
at
of a second faster than Bo Stevens there. And so, like, because the tape says, oh, this is scheme fit. Yeah, he moves really quick. His whenever he opens his right foot stance on that flat foot step, he's great at it, which if you play at Iowa, you have to be. Same thing to the left. But then I saw the testing numbers, and I'm just like, what the hell? Like, dude, this dude did not test well athletically at all. And so I don't know. I respect your opinion, because I know you've watched more of him than me.
Well, he's been part of an offensive line that is, you know, got the semifinalist award for the line of the year for the Joe Moore Awards. I mean, it's a really, really good line. He's also versatile. He's played on different spots on the line. I just think the versatility, but I hear you though, that testing, you know, they do put some credence into that testing. That's why I think there's a chance that Micah Morris, you know, I mentioned Micah Morris before as one of the guys that I like, but they may go for a Micah Morris. I mean, Micah Morris was another Georgia guy, hasn't allowed a sack, I think, in like 3 years. And he had a 1.73 10-yard split, which was really, really high. I mean, the fastest was 1.70. I mean, he had a better 10-yard split than Blake Miller, than several other players. So I don't know. I mean, I could see them going for an athletic offensive lineman. I just think that the Iowa kid is likely to check a lot of their boxes. So you might be right though. That testing number may take him off their radar. So maybe. Who would be your next guy? I'm 7 in, you're 6 in. Who's number 7 for you?
I'm going wide receiver. Your school, Ole Miss. I can't believe I'm doing it. Back-to-back Ole Miss wide receivers. DeJon Stribling.
How do people like him?
There's no issues. Like, I'm not saying he's an elite wide receiver, but usually once you get to, like, the third, fourth round guys, you're talking, okay, like, they're slow. They have injury history. They don't block. They don't run the route tree. They don't get separation. That, like, there's something. There's a flag. There's no flag here. Like I rate on these categories across. Like, experience, he's a 10 out of 10. He's played a lot. He's played in three separate conferences and played well in all conferences. Versatility, 6, lowest score. Speed, 9. Acceleration, 8. Blocking, 10. This dude loves to block. Yak is a 9. Like, he just kind of does everything. I'm like, man, why is this guy a fourth-round pick? He's 6'2", 207. He ran a 4.36. Like, but then you watch the tape, and it's like, okay, he's tight-hipped. There's not a lot of wiggle. Doesn't get a lot of separation. And so I'm like, okay, that's where it is. But this is a guy that could play X wide receiver, which I value much more than all the other wide receiver positions. Like, if you could play standalone X wide receiver against press, which, again, does he struggle with press? Yeah, Ole Miss is weird because they take plays off there. You watch Jordan Watkins' tape, it's frustrating as hell because 3 out of 10 snaps, he just doesn't take a step. But they coach him to do that. So do you penalize him for that? I don't know, but I like DeJon Stribling, the player. And if he's there in the fourth round, I think that'd be a perfect fit.
That's a good one. That's a good one. A lot of people really, really like him. All right. So now John's got Cassius Howell, Romello Height, Oscar Delp, Jeremy Bernard, Traydon Stukes, Damon Claiborne, and DeJon Stribling. So he's got 7. I've got Christian Miller, Chris Bell, CJ Allen, Sam Roush, Jam Miller, Keontae Scott, Bo Stevens. I'm going to go here with a guy that is going to be their second round pick. he's going to be picked in the second round, or he's not going to be a 49er because he's going to go in the second round. Jadarian Price, the Notre Dame running back, you know, he's from Denison, Texas, Denison High School. He's an awesome return guy. This is one of the better players in college football that nobody knows about because he played behind Jeremiah Love. And, you know, when you play behind Jeremiah Love, who's the best back, nobody ever talks about you. But this guy is a really, really good football player. He's strong. He's fast. He's dynamic as a return man. I think the 49ers, especially after watching Rashid Shaheed up close and after seeing what they got out of Sky Moore, I think they really want and value a dynamic return guy. I think Christian Kirk could be one of their guys, but I think this guy could be their guy. I think this guy could be their return guy. I would not be surprised if they took Jadarian Price in round two out of Notre Dame. I know they have other more pressing needs, but he's a very, very good prospect. He can catch it. He's been underutilized in college. The mileage is low. The attitude's great. He's got a good body, big body. He's 5'11", good, about 210, 215 pounds. Dynamic kick returner, could game changer in the kick return game, which is a big part of the game now. So I'm going to say Jadarian Price, Notre Dame.
Is it? I'm watching his tape. I like Jadarian Price a lot. My favorite thing about him is just how square he is in the way he sees the holes. You don't got a lot of tape. He had like 200 total carries in his college career. The whole time I'm watching him, I'm just like getting this throwback to like 22 for the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm just like, dude, this dude looks like Emmitt Smith when he's deciding which hole to pick every time. Like, it's just like you could superimpose. And I'm not saying he's Emmitt Smith. The whole time I'm watching him, I'm just like, dude, this dude reminds me the way he runs between the tackles is Emmitt Smith. I know he's not that, and I'm not saying he is like that, but it just, I don't know. I hate the Cowboys, but it reminded me a lot. His tape did. Am I crazy there? Do you see any similarities? Off the wall here?
I mean, I see a little bit of Emmitt sometimes in other backs too, because like I see a little Emmitt in Kalon Black. What I see is just a guy who had tremendous will. Like, you could feel the will of Emmitt Smith, and you could feel the will of Kalon Black when you watch Indiana. I mean, he's a pile mover. So he definitely would be on my. That's a good comparison. I think that's Emmitt's 5'8", you know, very similar to like an Ashton Gentry size. Yeah. If you go back. All right, so I'm 7 in. You're 7 in. It's time for number 8. Who do you got?
I got Trey Zun, the third, Texas A&M.
Wow.
And I see him as a center prospect.
He played tackle.
He has the most tackle snaps of anybody in this class, which nobody played left tackle in this draft class. Trey Zun has. But the athleticism is decent. I think that this could, like, the whole time I'm watching, I'm thinking, man, dude, this is Nick Zakel. This is somebody that, you know, smart character, all those things. Like, Texas A&M raved about this dude. The versatility is there. I could see him being a center prospect long term, and could be really one of those versatile guys that could play all over the place and just be, you know, let them have a year, figure it out. But I think long-term center play would be perfect for him in this 49ers offense. So I went Trey Zun as kind of a wild card, but there's just something I really, really like about him and just the versatility that I think he could play almost all 5 spots across the line.
That's a good one. And you know, he was a collegiate tackle who's going to play center. And there's a couple guys like that in this draft. Brian Parker played right tackle at Duke. They think he's going to play center. All right, I'm going to go for my 9th guy. This is tough, but all right, I'm going to go with Eli Heidenreich, the Navy Christian McCaffrey. He's a running back. He's a receiver. He's a big play guy. There's something about Eli Heidenreich that just screams out Kyle Shanahan. I could also see that the little Iowa return guy, Caden Wiesian, I could see him being somebody they would be interested in. But I'll say Eli Heidenreich from Navy. There's a lot to like as a receiver, as kind of a jack-of-all-trades weapon on offense.
I like it. And I think this is my last player, but if not, I can go more. I'm going back to the big tight end role.
Two more.
Yeah, local guy. Jack Entries played at Cal, transferred to Texas, do-it-all guy, not great at anything, but just a jack-of-all-trades, do-it-all tight end that I think you could get in the fourth round that has, you know, done really, really well, not one but two separate conventional schemes. They're not even close to what he did at Cal in Texas. But ball skills are legit. I don't think that he's amazing. He's not your huge yak guy or anything along those lines, but he's just played a lot of football. And the 49ers always want these guys that love football. Jack Entries is that. The experience is there. Transferring from tight end in college to the NFL is one of the most difficult things to do. I think experience is very, very important there. And this dude's just been healthy and played a long time. And he's only 21. And this is somebody that started from the jump at college football and has a lot of big-time game experience. Jack Entries, tight end, Texas, by way of Cal.
Yeah, that's a good one. That is a good one. All right, my 10th guy, I'm going to go Miles Rouser, the safety from Arizona State. I just think that John Lynch was such a hard-hitting safety that he knows that you got to have some guys back there that just want to seek and destroy. And Miles Rouser is that kind of player. He's a seek and destroy kind of a safety. He's going to be a day three guy if he's picked at all. I don't know if he's picked at all. I was debating between Miles Rouser, the safety from ASU, and Dylan Bell, the wide receiver from Georgia. But I'll go with Miles Rouser. I just think 49ers are going to wind up at least with one safety. It's probably not going to be until, you know, late in the draft. And Rouser, I think, could be an undrafted free agent. So I'll say Miles Rouser, hitter, safety at ASU.
Oh, I like it. My last player, John Lynch, already said he wanted to draft this guy. He said his name, and he wanted to draft this guy. Bryce Lance, Trey Lance's little brother. I think wide receiver is a huge need. I love Mike Evans. Is he the long-term answer at the X position? I don't think that he is. Bryce Lance, a lot of people are going to label as like a one-trick pony. I don't think the tape suggests that. Yeah, he's 6'3", runs a 4'3". He's a vertical field stretcher. But the routes that he ran was an asked to run an advanced route tree at North Dakota State. But I'm telling you, the separation is there. He eats up space in a hurry. I think that this is somebody that's going to climb into second round. I wouldn't be shocked if he goes in the top 50 picks. But if Bryce Lance is there when the 49ers pick in the second round, they didn't go wide receiver in round one, I could see it.
That's good. That is good. All right. We'll finish on the big finish. And of course, thanks
to
got
some super chats too. We got to roll through.
And we'll remind everybody. Let me just throw a couple sponsors in here. Thanks to Pig in a Pickle, of course, the title sponsor of the Crude Show. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They'll be opening later this year in Petaluma. Thanks to Pig in a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Crude Show. Thanks to Novato Chevrolet, family owned for over 50 years. Go see David Corral. He's a phenomenal sales guy. He's a terrific guy. He'll take care of you. He'll give you a screaming deal. The only place I'll buy a Chevrolet is Novato Chevrolet. If you today want to adopt a pet, you can go to the San Jose Animal Care Center. And Habas Law today is covering the adoption fees for every dog, every cat, every bunny, every squirrel, every iguana, every chance at a new life at the San Jose Animal Care Center. So check that out. That is at 2750 Monterey Road. In San Jose, Habas Law, rough on injustice with a heart for paws. And it's a little cheesy. But thank you to Alomar Marina, alomarmarina.net. They're, if you want to dine while you float, check them out. 5999 Garden Highway, open Wednesday through Sunday in Sacramento. Awesome spot, voted Sacramento's favorite lunch spot. And thank you as well to Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles, the great Anthony Catania. And of course, he's got free shipping at Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles if you're a Krug Show fan. So thanks to all of our sponsors for sponsoring the Krug Show.
Larry, we lost your video about 5 seconds ago. We need to see your beautiful face, my friend.
Oh, that's
well. As he gets that worked out, let's go through some of these super chats. Just want to say, oh, there he is. Look at there that handsome devil. Mason, thanks for the super chat, my friend. He says these short arm guys are going to fall hard, and people will be surprised. But last year, Mike Green fell to the end of the second round because of his arms and other things. Yeah, the arms is one issue, and that's going to affect, you know, guys like Cassius Howell and even the stud Bane. But yeah, Mike Green had the off the field multiple.
And he struggled on the field this year. It's funny. We were debating all these guys, you know, Mike Green, and then he struggled off the field. Then, you know, James Pierce, he had a great year on the field. And then look at the issues that he's got now. You know, I was a big advocate last year for Jaylon Walker. And I really thought when Jaylon Walker and Mikel had that workout together that the Niners were probably interested in Jaylon Walker. Interestingly enough, they went with Mikel. Raheem Morris went with Jaylon Walker, and now Raheem Morris is here. You know, so be interesting to see what kind of wrinkles or what kinds of players, you know, they go for. I got to think that Raheem's going to have a big say in that.
I agree. Philip, thanks for the super chat. My friend, he says, Delp, talking about Oscar Delp, the tight end, gives me Kittle vibes for sure. Same career projection, plays hurt. He just needs the same chance Kittle got. We talked a little bit about Delp, but yeah, just your thoughts on this, Larry.
Well, that's a great call by Philly. Was that Philip? Oh, Philip. Great call by Philip because, you can't throw the ball to yourself. If you drafted George Kittle, or if you looked at George Kittle's Iowa stats, they sucked. His Iowa stats weren't anything. That's why he went in the fifth round, because Iowa's so bad they couldn't recognize that George Kittle was a star. And they used him strictly almost as a blocker. So he was underutilized. And I think Oscar Delp is exactly the same thing. I really do. He's played on a team that has receivers and backs and you name it. Some of those quarterbacks, I'm not the biggest Gunnar Stockton fan. I look at Oscar Delp and I see a Pro Bowl caliber tight end who looks awesome, and yet he never had 300-plus yards in any season. So I agree with you. I think that's I think Oscar Delp would be a really, really nice pick. Now, you don't want to take him the second round, but if he's there in the fourth round, I'm running that card up.
Dude, that's going to be a rough third round for 49ers fans. I'm telling you right now. You're going to see those names start coming off the board. It's going to be frustrating. So just prepare yourself. Big Tone, thanks for the super chat. It says, John needs to meet Dieter. Two film nerds, no BS, just film. I love people that dive
into Deets?
Man. I don't. I don't.
Great guy, smart, and works for Cambiar, does a great job.
You lost me at smart. I'm just joking.
he's a big dude, though. I mean, we're talking about a big boy. We're talking about like 6'7" and three bills. He's a big guy, but he does some. He really is fantastic, and I've had him on my stream. You know, on my channel we co-stream like once a week.
I love it.
On Mondays. We were doing it on Thursdays, but he's really good. Yeah, you should definitely get him on your channel at some
this
point.
Space, man, guy. There's so many awesome people I haven't crossed paths with. Seriously, there's 60 Niners shows.
Cool thing about having like guys like yourself on KMBR is that the local people now get to, you know, you have a big profile. Chase Sr. is a big profile. Some of these national guys have a big profile, but they don't have a gigantic profile locally. But now you guys are growing your profile locally. Some of the local guys are starting to grow their profile nationally. So
it's a
beautiful thing. Yeah.
And thanks to you, Larry. Yeah. You help a lot of people, myself included. So really appreciate
I enjoy it, man. I really enjoy it because you guys bring a lot of good stuff to the table. And, then I'll get that. You know, I'll be at a Giants game or a Niner game. People be like, dude, I love this guy. I love that guy. And I'm like, hey, man, we're an equal opportunist over here. We try to get as many people to the airwaves as possible.
I love it. Dimitrov, we got a super chat. He said, oh, I love this. He's got a full draft plan laid out with players. First go corner, Johnson or Pons. Second go Dennis Sutton, one of my favorite players in this draft. I can't believe I put him on my list.
I know.
Kilgore. Then go Lewis at linebacker. After that, go wide receiver, center, then guard. Man, he's
all over it.
I love it.
Chris Johnson is a good name from, you know, the Niners will be looking at a lot of really good corners there. Pons, Keontae Scott, Chris Johnson. I mean, I'll just say right now, I'm going to have a hard time if the 49ers go with some freaking mediocre offensive lineman or some mediocre defensive front guy, and they pass on Chris Johnson, D'Angelo Pons, and Keontae Scott, and Chris Johnson, D'Angelo Pons, and Keontae Scott all become Pro Bowl caliber DBs, and the Niners get some mediocre, you know, player, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to absolutely lose it. I like Danny Dennis Sutton, by the way.
I do,
too. Two-point stance. He's got to be coached into putting his hand in the dirt. And John, you know, as a football coach, that isn't always the easiest transition. But that guy is so athletic and long. And at 270, I think Danny Dennis Sutton moves like a player who's like 230. And I think if the Niners drafted Danny Dennis Sutton, I think he would get into training camp and people would be like, look at this guy, you know, because he's 270 and he moves awesome.
So what they hoped Yetur Gross Matos would be.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Last one for Breaking 80 Super Chat. Hello, gents. This show pairs perfectly with my coffee. Appreciate you both. Go Niners. Do you prioritize edge, OT, left guard, or wide receiver more in day one and two? Let me ask you this, Larry, and this is how we'll answer this question.
Yeah.
You get to guarantee the 49ers address two positions in the first and second round. Which two positions are most important to you with this current roster? Which two positions?
In the first round, I would say they need a defensive lineman and a defensive back.
Oh, there we go. I like it. I would go edge and wide receiver, but yeah.
I will say this, though. I want a great player. I think great player and then D-line, DB, you know, but great player. Like, if it comes down to it, it's a good DB, a good D-lineman, or a great tight end. I want a great tight end. A good DB, a good D-lineman, or a great linebacker. I want a great linebacker. I want a great player. I want an all-pro player. I want a Pro Bowl player. Whoever this player is has to be one of the best young players on the 49ers going forward.
It's been a while since they've hit a home run. Brock Purdy was probably the last home run pick. That was 2022. A lot of singles, a couple doubles since then.
No Pro Bowl, no all-pros. Yeah, they need that big homer. So just to wrap it up, John went with Cassius Howell, Romello Height, Oscar Delp, Jeremy Bernard, Tre'Davious Stoops, Damon Claiborne, Deshaun Stribling, Trey Zune, Jack, is it Jake or Jack Endries?
Jack.
Jack Endries, and then Bryce Lance. I went Christian Miller, Chris Bell, CJ Allen, Sam Roush, Jam Miller, Keontae Scott, Bo Stevens, Jadarian Price, Eli Heidenreich, and Miles Rouser. Let's finish with one player. It doesn't have to be for the Niners, but obviously we're Niner-centric, so we're always thinking about the 49ers. Is there one player in this process that you've just absolutely, like, fallen in love with and you just are smitten over this player? You think he's really, really good. And you really want to see the Niners go get him. Who is that player for you?
Yeah, I'm a homer.
Even if it doesn't make sense, you know, if it's like, you know, they don't need this position, but, you know.
Mine would be Malik Muhammad, the cornerback from Texas. Okay. I love this guy. I don't think he's going to be available anywhere the Niners pick. I think he goes kind of mid-second round. Mm-hmm. Just a super clean corner. That is alpha freaking mentality defense, wants to guard the best player all the time. Like, I just don't think that the 49ers will have the chance to draft him. 27 is too early, and I think it back in seconds too late. By far one of my favorite rush crush players and just a guy that's been so fun to watch wear freaking the burnt orange. He's incredible.
Of course, I'm going to have two. I love Caleb Proctor from Southeast Louisiana, who's just an interior rusher, who's a great athlete, and he's just undersized. And I don't know exactly where he's going to play on the defensive line, and I'm not even sure if they would even know where he's going to play. He kind of reminds me of Ronald Blair, Remember Ronald Blair when he was
App State, baby.
Yeah. Remember Ronald Blair in the Motor City Bowl? He just dominated for App State. And Ronald Blair was just like, you know, he was just a badass. I mean, he could play tackle. He could play end. He's just one of those guys. He's just a badass. He's fast. He's tough. I love this kid, Caleb Proctor from Southeast Louisiana. I just, his, you know, he had 9 sacks this year. He's quick as hell. He's 290 pounds. He's explosive. He's got 11-inch hands, and he just throws guys away. And some of his tape at the level that he was at Southeast Louisiana is just ridiculous. I mean, ridiculous. So I love Caleb Proctor as a super athletic defensive lineman who can play, you know, all over the wide nine. But my favorite guy is this Georgia State wide receiver, Ted Hurst. I mean, he just is this. He's every time I watch this guy, he looks better to me. When he was went to the combine and they measured him and everything, he was bigger. You know, I thought he was gonna be like 6'2". He was 6'4". I thought he was gonna, you know, run well. He ran better. I mean, he runs well. He's gigantic. This guy is going to be, the 49ers are looking for that X wide receiver. And I bet you they're going to be looking for guys in that second round. And I think a lot of them are going to be passed over. And it will be interesting to me if Hurst happens to, if they're looking for a receiver in round two, but Jeremy Bernard's gone. And they're looking for a receiver in round two, but Chris Bell's gone. And they're looking for a receiver in round two, but KC Concepcion's gone. I could see them going with Ted Hurst from Georgia State. And if this guy, if you just took that one word out, John, State, this kid's a second-round pick. But because he went to Georgia State, he's going to be there probably in the fourth round. Maybe not. You know, I he might have been a first-round pick if he went to Georgia, but he's going to definitely be there in the second round, and that would be – he'd be on my short list. He is just a jumbo X receiver with great ball skills, great production, and just a ton of talent. He just – this guy is one of the best receivers I've seen come out of the FCS in a long, long time.
It's hard to find a flaw in his game. The only thing you could – kind of complained about is what you talked about, level of competition. You know, why didn't he transfer, all those types of things. But man, loyalty, that's got to mean something too. So even in the negatives, I think that says something strong. This guy could have got paid, but he chose to stay. So I love Ted Hurst. Really, really do.
Well, that's going to do it for us, man. We're on to our Saturday. Johnny, thanks for hosting today. We appreciate that. And thanks to all of our sponsors. And hopefully we'll do this again in either next Saturday or the weeks ahead. We always love streaming with you. Tell us a little bit about the trip to Australia, by the way, since we haven't promoted that yet. We haven't talked about that yet.
Yeah, you're going to Australia. We have full packages together. Flights, hotels, game tickets, wine tasting, dinners, you name it. Go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. We have packages that include travel with the airline, or if you want to go longer or whatever, all that is up on the site, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. It's going to be an absolute blast. We're trying to build a once-in-a-lifetime premium travel vacation package. It's not cheap. If you haven't looked up flights to Australia, it's crazy, crazy. But if you want to come party with us, and if you're going to be in Australia for the game, at least join us for our day before rally, tailgate, post-game party, all those things. They'll be up at a later date. But right now, we just have the travel packages with game tickets included. It's one stop. You book this package, you're done. Everything is covered.
So if they want info, Johnny, where is the best way to get information and so they can kind of – and is it like a one-size-fits-all kind of a deal? Are there all options?
There's lots of options. How many people you want in your hotel room, you know, all that stuff's going to affect price, where you're flying out of, a lot of those things there. But the site answers most of those. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. That is where you go to get all your stuff answered.
Awesome, man. How many trips have you done ever with Niner fans?
With 100? Niner fans, I think we're at 37.
How many years have you been traveling?
We started before COVID. So yeah, 2019. So I guess we're on 6 years.
Wow.
Wow. And so whenever I was teaching coaching, you know, down in Texas, coaching football, I was in charge of all the senior trips too. So like, you know, we took kids to France and to Europe and all over the place. So like, this has always been, I believe in traveling, like it just grows experiences and I like partying. So why not put them together? Right?
Oh my God. It was awesome. We went to New Orleans this year and just being able to meet all those Niner fans and what an incredible trip it was. And it's something I plan on traveling at least two or three times every year going forward, because it, as you said, I mean, it's fun. It's amazing. And it really connects you to the Niner crowd in a way that is just really neat. And there's so many people that are like, dude, I watch your show all the time. And, you know, it was really cool on the plane and in the quarter. And, you know, I don't know if Kevin and I can make it to Australia, but if we can, we will. And we'll be partying with you. And it's going to be a morning game, 10:30 in the morning.
Early. Yeah. Early here, not there. Right. Sorry.
Early there, not here.
There we go. Yeah. But yeah, this is awesome, Larry. Just want to say thank you so much. And for everybody else, appreciate y'all. And until next time, stay strong, faithful. Peace.
Summer adventures are better with Minky Couture. From road trips to ball games, beach nights to backyard movies, Minky has you covered. Don't miss the Everywhere blanket. Water-resistant, ultra-soft, and made for life on the go. Wherever summer takes you, bring comfort along. MinkyCouture.com, the original best blanket ever. Summer adventures are better with Minky Couture. From road trips to ball games, beach nights to backyard movies, Minky has you covered. Don't miss the Everywhere blanket. Water-resistant, ultra-soft, and made for life on the go. Wherever summer takes you, bring comfort along. MinkyCouture.com, the original best blanket ever.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.